The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Lots to get through today. Later on in the show, Jan Arge Fjortoff will be here to give us his reaction to the news that Hansi Flick has told Bayern Munich he wants to leave at the end of the season. Plus, Seven Ali here to reflect on that Copa del Rey final. We start, though, in the FA Cup semi-final at Wembley. Chelsea 1, Manchester City 0 is how it would finish as Thomas Tuchel's side book a place in the final of this year's tournament. The dreams of Manchester City in that quadruple are well and truly over as we welcome in Shaka Hislop and Craig Burley. Craig, Chelsea deserved this.
They did, and I don't think City were dreaming about a quadruple, Dan, to be honest with you. I think it's people like us, or you, more importantly, and others, who just want to drab on about quadruples, because let's be honest about it. They're playing the Carabao Cup next week. They're playing the FA. If they played in the FA Cup final and won it, so what? The only headlines that are going to come about here is if they don't win the Champions League this year, right? And the two trophies that he wanted to wrestle away were, the first one was from Liverpool, and the second one was from Bayern Munich. Mm. Now, they have that opportunity, but that's the most important thing. So I think that was prevalent in his team selection again. What he was saying was, I really don't want to risk some of these players that have been so good for me, like Foden, like Gundogan, like Riyad Mahrez. And so I think that told a story. And you're absolutely right. I thought Chelsea deserved it. I thought City didn't do enough. But when you make those changes, that just tells me, look, priorities here, priority. Premier League title, Champions League. That being said, though, it was still a disappointing performance. And you wondered in the week why Raheem Sterling wasn't playing in the Champions League against Dortmund. There you have it, in a nutshell.
Yeah, Raheem Sterling had a shocker. A number of those players, yep. Shaka, you think maybe we'll be looking to knock on the door for those big games that are still to come for Manchester City. No one stood up today at all. It's a really lethargic performance for much of this game.
Yeah, it really was, and that's a big surprise. All season long, we've been talking about Manchester City, and regardless of who Pep Guardiola calls on, regardless of what formation he uses, whether it's with a striker or false nine, whether it's Aguero or Diego Jesus, the one thing we've not been able to say about City is that they've been pedestrian. They've always seemed up for it. The changes and the rotations have been flawless. But for 90 minutes against Chelsea, I don't think I've seen Manchester City anytime recently look as lethargic, look as slow as they did today. And credit Chelsea for forcing them into just not being able to play their own game. But without question, the better team won this semi-final.
City going to be okay going forward, Craig, rediscovering that form with their proper 11?
Well, I don't know, Dan, because as I said to you in the last couple of days, I really think at the moment, full strength, that PSG will be a big problem for them. So I don't know. And this is the big question. This is why I'm saying, yeah, you know, we love the FA Cup. All us boys, and most of the boys in the show that played in England, we all played in numerous amounts of these FA Cup games and finals and whatnot. But we understand that in the recent climate, it's sort of diminishing a little bit in terms of its priority. However, the Champions League is the one, and I think if you produce a performance like that over even 90 minutes, never mind 180 minutes against PSG, the chances are you're going to go out. So, look, this is still the question. It's not whether City will win the FA Cup or the quadruple for me. It's whether they win the Champions League. That's the holy grail for them. It's the holy grail for PSG. It's why the money gets piled in. Yes, the FA Cup would be good to have on the CV again, and we know Chelsea, my old club, have got a very good record in this competition, particularly in the last 20 to 25 years. But ultimately, if you gave any of these two clubs a choice, and they're both still in the Champions League semi-finals, they would say that competition. The difference is, for Thomas Tuchel, if he gets to a final of the Champions League, or if they win it, and it's, you can never rule it out because they did the same back in, I think it was 2011, that's just a huge bonus for him. If he doesn't, and they get knocked out by Real Madrid, and that has to be what the bookies are saying, nobody will bat an eyelid. Mm. The problem is, for Pep Guardiola, is they absolutely has to deliver this competition.
What was Zach Steffen doing, Shaq?
I really don't know. It just seemed really odd. From a goalkeeper who, let's be honest, hasn't played regularly, but when he's been called on, he's been solid without being spectacular. This was just odd for a goalkeeper who I describe as solid. You just do the basics, do them well, don't try to win games, but coming off his line as he did, I find it hard to explain, given how he's played for when he has played for Manchester City.
Obviously, we talked a lot about Manchester City, but Chelsea have got this way at the moment, Craig. Have just been able to get it done, with the exception of that shock West Brom defeat. Everything's going right for Tuchel at the moment.
Yeah, and look, you have to give him credit for that, because I don't think they would be in the scenarios that they're in if Frank Lampard had still been in charge, because we know he's not got the experience. He played a different way. Defensively, they were more open. And he's pretty much set it out from the minute he came in. This way of playing, this system that he plays, has been what he has used from day one, right? And apart from the odd wobble, I think a couple of times West Brom been won, it's been pretty damn good. And so whilst it hasn't always delivered the free-flowing attacking football that maybe Chelsea fans would want, It's got a balance about it, and it's getting the job done. So he has to be absolutely delighted. And that's why this Chelsea side will be a threat for Real Madrid over the two legs, purely because on the day under this manager with this personnel, they could be as stubborn defensively as anybody and still have a threat going forward. So he has to be extremely happy with the response he's got from that squad since taking over from Lampard.
And in this competition, Chelsea got to be big favourites now, Shaq.
Yeah, without question. Given what you saw from them today against Manchester City, given who's playing in the other semi-final tomorrow, Chelsea right now are favourites regardless of who wins between Leicester and Southampton. And in all honesty, for all our criticisms around Manchester City, I thought Chelsea played really well today. That back three that he continues to use, the wing backs that he employs and how he employs them, the work that they have to get through is simply phenomenal. And then you have Kante and Jorginho sitting in the middle of the park. They invited the pressure from City and were able to pass their way out to the back time and time again, and looked really comfortable in doing that in a way that I don't think I'd seen anybody do against Manchester City as comfortably over 90 minutes for quite some time. Credit to Thomas Tuchel and what he's done. Chelsea are looking fantastic. Well, they certainly had a great performance today against City.
Oh, Shaq, you're very excited about Chelsea. They're not that pretty to watch, though, are they, Shaq?
I thought they were really good, Dan. I really do.
No, they're good, but like from a football fan's point of view, they don't get you that excited. Oh, Chelsea are playing today. We've got to go and watch them.
Yeah, I think because they're still missing, you're still not quite sure who their front three is going to be, and far too often, many in that front three are misfiring. But if they had three strikers who, you know, you knew what you were going to get out of them, I think this team would be as good as we've seen certainly from Chelsea for quite some time. That's the only flaw for me, that uncertainty around who that front three or front four may be.
I tell you what they do though, Dan. They manage games for the most part particularly well. They manage the games against Atletico Madrid well. They pretty much managed that super game against Porto that Xhaka was subdued to. that we know he didn't watch because he watched the other game really. But that's another story. But he gave it away. He did. Not for the first time. And I would have done the same thing, to be fair, Shaq. But they manage games particularly well. And listen, if Chelsea win the FA Cup, and you're right, they will be, well, you know, Leicester get there, it's going to be a tight one. But You know, they probably would edge it as favourites. If they win that and get in the top four, trust me, Thomas Tuchel can do cartwheels down the West End Road outside of Chelsea, because that would be a real job done since coming in. On the other side of the coin, if Guardiola gets the Premier League and the Champions League, he's in a similar scenario. So I think it would be everyone would be happy with that sort of scenario at the end of the season. But they've just managed games since he's come in particularly well. But you're right. They're not the most exciting team. But that's when Abramovich hired them, he said, I want you to be super exciting, but I don't care if you get in the top four or win anything. But I don't think that was the conversation that they had.
I thought you might have done the accent then. You mentioned Chelsea at the top four. Obviously a very good day for them, not only in the FA Cup, but West Ham losing against Newcastle, Shaka. How did this happen?
It happened because some of West Ham's most reliable and consistent performances had terrible days. Dawson, who'd been fantastic all season long, he had a huge error in the build-up to the first goal that saw him get a red card. Ogbonna had an error leading to that first goal. Fabianski dropping the ball for the second, and then everybody else was average. You're looking at the likes of Jesse Lingard, who's been fantastic. It was an average performance for him. If you're West Ham and you see that many under par performances, you just put it down to one of those days. And if you're Newcastle, you're happy for the gifts that West Ham gave you, even if you try to make hard work of it, letting them back in the game. You do get a late winner. You needed that 3 points.
It means that Chelsea are just 1 point adrift of West Ham, and they have a game in hand. Liverpool, meanwhile, just 3 adrift of the Hammers, now also with a game in hand, Craig.
Yeah, I never felt that West Ham were going to hang on, Dan, I have to be honest, because I think the other teams are so much stronger. And I think that just goes to the job that David Moyes has done. And ever since he came on our show and talked about Marouane Fellaini being the best Chester of a ball he's ever seen, his career's gone back to the top again. And so the very fact that he's done that job with what he's got has been amazing. I mean, this is a club that generally over the last few years is fighting tooth and nail down to the last day of the season to stay up, or indeed they're already down. And to see them in this position is tantamount to the job that David Moyes has done. So you've got to give him credit for that. He's resurrected Jesse Lingard's career as well. And the West Ham fans have to be absolutely delighted. But yeah, the chasing pack, I'm afraid, have got much stronger squads and much better players. And I think West Ham will finally find their feet in terms of where they're going to finish up, which could be, I think, around fifth or sixth.
Was that someone's dog or someone's stomach in the background? What was that? Was that you, Shaq?
Not me.
That's my dog.
Well, he's got the house of noises there, you know. The dog has to run about to keep warm, because we know from previous shows that Shaq refuses to put the heating on.
No, exactly. Snow in Massachusetts, wasn't it, Shaq? Still that heating's not going on. Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. Just a reminder, ESPN SC back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be talking about the other FA Cup semi-final between Leicester and Southampton, plus reflecting on Inter against Napoli.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, in Germany, Bayern Munich one step closer to retaining the title after a 3-2 victory over Wolfsburg. Great game, this. Musiala, the Bayern youngster, very much the star of the show, getting 2 goals in this victory. But the big story came after the game, where Hansi Flick came out and said, "I told the team today that I informed the club during the week after the game in Paris I'd like to terminate my contract at the end of the season." Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Jan Arge Fjortoff. Jan, you've been reporting this story for the last couple of weeks now.
Yeah, and I've always said that this is more a blame game than a power battle, because Salihamidzic, the head of sport, and Hans Flick, the coach, they are more like having this game who to blame when Hansi Flick says, I really want the German national team. And he doesn't say that today, he just say that he wants to terminate his contract. I think for Salihamidžić, it's too early to celebrate this with a champagne, because I think what everybody agree, including the players and the fans, is that Hansi Flick is being the perfect Bayern manager. It's hard to find that manager. In the past, it's only been Hitzfeld, Jupp Heynckes being that perfect Bayern manager. He's won everything. But now that the job is coming up, well, remember, he was the assistant coach of the German national team from 06 till 14. He won the World Cup with Germany. And so this put Bayern in a difficult position as well, because I think they will end up having to terminate the contract. And who will they take? And, well, Nagelsmann is the first candidate. Everybody speaks about him. But at Leipzig, they say, no, we won't let him go. He doesn't have a clause in his contract. And I think that the big loser in this battle will be Bayern Munich, because this is the only way they can be stopped, is that they appoint the wrong coach, and we've seen that in the past.
Right, so many things to dissect from what you've just said, Jan. Let's start, shall we, with Hansi Flick's mindset. If everything was rosy, you've talked about the problems with the board, the Boateng, the Alaba situation, if everything was fine, would he stay at the club, or is the desire to go and coach the German national team surpassing any desire that he had at club level?
Well, I think it's a lot of mixed emotions. Hansi Flick is not a player. Hansi Flick is one of those guys who just want to do his job. Of course, he knows the signal he will set, but there have been a lot of things. I mean, I think this whole thing about going to Bayern and want to decide which players you're going to sign, he knew what he signed up for, because Hansi Flick know the Bayern culture. He's been there. He knows the tradition there. But there have been too many things about Salihamidžić that he didn't agree on. And we know what I'm saying, not a player, but he's a player in the terms that he's made it quite clear that he doesn't think that Salihamidžić is doing his job properly. And when we have had reports from inside saying that the club, meaning Salihamidžić, they want these new signing to be played and not playing a Boateng that will be leaving in the summer, Alaba who will be leaving in the summer, why don't you play Hernandez who cost us 75 million euro? And a coach like Hansi Flick, he will never accept that. And then when Joachim Löw said, I want to leave, I'm going to leave in the summer, there was like an opening for him to leave this. He's not been there for a long, long time. So this is big news, because for Bayern Munich, so powerful, this is the only thing that can hurt them.
You mentioned Nagelsmann. Is there any chance that he'd say to Leipzig, I want out?
Oh, he could do that. I mean, that's probably the only chance he's got. But there is some proudness of some of these coaches as well, as Klopp always say, I want to fulfill my contract. And Nagelsmann, he is a young coach. He's not been along for so many years. And when he doesn't have a clause, you kind of get this image of you want to leave the club. And let's just think forward. Okay, let's say Nagelsmann, Julian Nagelsmann will be the new Bayern coach. Will he fit there? Will he fit with Ole Kahn, who is powerful? Uli Hoeneß is just around. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Salihamidžić. You have to be powerful to survive at Bayern. And we've seen that before from all great football personalities, who Jürgen Klinsmann, who knew the Bayern culture, Niko Kovac, who knew the Bayern culture. They didn't survive. So it's a tough decision. And will he sacrifice everything he has at Leipzig to go all in to come to Bayern? Well, I doubt it. But this is a big job for every German. So there could be a chance for them.
Give me some alternatives, Jan.
Wow, I saw Allegri was linked to the club. I can't see that happening. Bayern has had a tradition, the last appointments to, after Ancelotti, they have said we need someone to speak German. So not many around. Ragnik will, of course, he's been linked to every club now, including the national coach of Greenland, I think. So he will probably be mentioned. But they will go internally in Germany. So it's going to be interesting to see who will be the candidates.
Jan, on their performance today, as I mentioned at the top, great game. Musiala, who there is so much hype and excitement about, stepping up.
Well, it's unbelievable. You just think that he's the youngest player who have ever scored 6 goals in the Bundesliga, youngest Bayern player, and so on and so on, breaking all kind of records. And I think it was brilliant today. And the way it's nearly a trademark of his is when he scores the goals, he's just dancing around, scoring the goals. 2 goals today. And as you said, Dan, this was a great game. And Wolfsburg haven't lost at home this year. And it just shows you, without Goretzka, without Gnabry, without Lewandowski, they still able to go to Wolfsburg, the third best team in the Bundesliga, and win there. But it was great entertainment for football. It was great to see Weghorst scoring a typical number 9 goal-getter goal that he's done all this year. But again, you just felt that Bayern did just enough to get those 3 points. And after RB Leipzig 1 point yesterday, it seems like he's ready to, if they're allowed, to celebrate on the Rathausplatz in Germany. Munich.
Meanwhile, we've been discussing a lot the race for the top 4, which was looking good for Eintracht Frankfurt. But boy, did they drop the ball today, losing 4-0 against Borussia Mönchengladbach. What happened, Jan?
Well, it's been a terrible week for all who love Frankfurt. First, Adi Hütter said, I will leave, I go to Gladbach. And then we had Freddy Bobic, the head of sport and the brain of this project, Eintracht Frankfurt, he said he's going to leave for Hertha Berlin. And I practice this all day, Dan, but today in Gladbach, we saw the present Frankfurt coach, the future Gladbach coach, playing the future Dortmund coach at Gladbach. And they're trying to avoid that the present Dortmund coach get into the Champions League ahead of the present Frankfurt coach. This can only happen in Germany. Only in Germany.
Hold on, Jan.
A lot of practice today.
I would definitely not have attempted that.
But it was a terrible game for Frankfurt, because this, after what's happening this week, what you don't need is to go to Gladbach, who kind of the symbol of when a coach signed for another club like Rose did. They had a terrible run, and now they are afraid, of course, in Frankfurt, that this will happen again. They conceded 4 goals, 3 goals on set pieces, Kevin Trapp making a terrible mistake at the Hoffmann goal. So it was just like a very bad day, and they have to bounce back on Tuesday against Augsburg, or they will somehow kind of throw this Champions League chance away.
Yeah, an opportunity then for Borussia Dortmund to close the gap and try and get that 4th Champions League place. Just a reminder, their game against Werder Bremen is on Sunday. It's live at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
In Spain, a brilliant second half performance from Barcelona would see them thrash Athletic Bilbao by 4-0 to be crowned the Copa del Rey champions 2021. For more on this, let's go to Seven Alley.
Barcelona beating Athletic Club Bilbao 4-0 in today's Copa del Rey final in Seville. Ale, this is truly a story of two halves. 0-0 after 45 minutes and Barcelona taking over in the second half.
You go back to the first half and you're Athletic Club Bilbao and you go into halftime and you're saying, we're good. We're good. They're not getting in behind. They're not really threatening. There was a post early on from Frankie de Jong, but that was about it from the attack of Barcelona in the first half. Look, we don't have the ball. We didn't come here to get the ball. We're a team that is going to counterattack. Iñaki Williams said pieces. Well, we'll win this 1-0. We're feeling great about ourselves. And then the second half started. And Barcelona played at a different pace and with different speed and with an element of that change of pace and direct movement and dynamic movement, runners beyond the ball, beyond Lionel Messi, getting in behind, overlapping runs coming from Serginho Dest, coming from Frankie de Jong, Antoine Griezmann adding a goal. And now everything changed because Athletic Club Bilbao had to go on the attack. And when you try to do that against Barcelona and you're not comfortable attacking Barcelona, now Barcelona took over. And the 20 minutes that Lionel Messi played in the second half was high level, high level, next level. We were talking about the very best of Lionel Messi. He took over against it. Might see you guys later.
Yeah, he gets the goal in the 68th and then another one in the 72nd. Let's focus in a little bit on Antoine Griezmann because he didn't start El Clasico. He sent a message to Ronald Koeman today, didn't he?
Yeah, but there's been moments this season which you think, okay, here we go. Antoine, hey, hey, we like it. He's scoring important goals. There's a moment in which he turns a corner, and then he takes a couple of steps back. But what we saw today from him is that when he is active and he has that movement off the ball, he can be the option of the guy that can find the through ball to Jordi Alba. Now Lionel Messi can join in the attack to the top of the 18-yard box. It doesn't have to be Messi to Alba to Messi to Messi to Messi to Messi. It can be Griezmann to Alba to Messi. We can skip a couple of passes here. Now Messi appears where he's most dangerous, around the 18-yard box. The other thing that happens is that when Antoine Griezmann is playing well, now he attracts attention to himself. And when he does that, we saw today in the second goal, the one by Frenkie de Jong, Antoine Griezmann shows for the ball. That attracts attention. Lionel Messi runs beyond Antoine Griezmann. That attracts attention. And everybody forgets about the third option. That's Frenkie de Jong, who gets across his defender and scores the goal. That only happens if Antoine Griezmann is playing well, because you have to say as a defender, I have to pick up this guy. I don't have to focus just on Messi. There are a couple other guys here that can hurt us.
I mentioned Ronald Koeman. How far do you think this victory and really more importantly this trophy will go to validate his work this season?
I think given the finances of Barcelona, he wasn't going anywhere. Mm. Because if you're Barcelona, the last thing that you wanted to do was fire a coach, have to pay him out, and then bring in a coach and having to pay him. However, if you are John Laporta and Ronald Koeman, you say, you know what? Here we are. Here's the future. We're building into the future. Look, we're still in La Liga. We could win that as well. And now we've won a trophy, and it shows a platform of success. You can build on that platform of success and then say, we're bringing up young players. Mm-hmm. Sergiño Dest is playing, Oscar Mingueza is playing, and Pedri is playing. And now we're building around Lionel Messi. And you can say to Messi, Messi, look, this is the direction we want to go, and we want you to be part of this project. It's all shaping up quite nicely for Ronald Koeman, but he needed this trophy, and he got it.
Barcelona 4-0 winners, Ale, a true Messi masterclass. That's all the time for us. Send it back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. That is Barcelona's 31st Copa del Rey title. They've won 5 of the last 7 campaigns. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But despite that defeat, the other results all going Norwich's way, meaning that Norwich are promoted, bouncing straight back to the Premier League. They have one of those automatic promotion places now in the Championship. You would say Watford very much the favourites to join them as well, but they did lose today against Luton. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra time is next. Jan and Shaka answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop is with us, as is Jana Agafjordsson. Jan, it's the first time we've been together since Neymar Gate.
Yes, very. I've learned that ESPN got a lot of Neymar fans as viewers, but I'm very polite, so I've answered them all, except in Spanish. I don't understand Spanish, but I understand the swear words. So then I've said, yes, I will pick Thomas Müller and De Bruyne ahead of Neymar, and I still stand for that.
The fact that you've forgotten that he won a Champions League title seems to really rile people up, Jan.
And I have, as a humble Norwegian, I'm asked, sorry, 2015, he was fantastic, even scoring in injury time at that final. So I have to put that correct. Neymar, fantastic Champions League winner.
So let's put that to bed now. You don't have to tweet me to ask Jan all the time. Jan has admitted he was very, very wrong, and we can move on. Shaka, were you rooting for Newcastle West Ham this morning? That's a good question.
Ooh.
What was the question?
Were you rooting for Newcastle or West Ham?
You know, it didn't really bother me who came out on top. I think Newcastle needed points more. But I wasn't really rooting for one or the other. Though, I have to admit, right? I thought Newcastle started the better, so I was happy for them to see them take the lead. And then the same old criticism around Newcastle. As soon as the second half starts, they just kind of regress to this defensive, we're not going to bother trying
to
defend this lead.
Shack.
Well, I was when they were playing well, and then they started to play poorly, and that got me angry. So then I was supporting West Ham, but then I guess, you know, no real argument with Newcastle taking all 3 points.
Dan, I'm very into art. Can you, photo or picture behind Shaka, will that take us out on what he's supporting? Good understanding of the question, Shaka.
Yeah, exactly. Jan, why is Musiala not being hyped on the same level as a Bellingham, Greenwood, Saka, Pedri? How good can he become, and what player does he remind you of?
Wow, who remind me of? That is a tough one. But why he's not hyped? I think it's because he's at Bayern. Because in Dortmund, for example, if you see Bellingham, then they love to kind of promote their talent. It's a talent club. Same as Manchester United with Greenwood. But at Bayern, the young kids are more or less coming into the game, not as a central major players. They just slowly getting into the team. And again today, two great goals. He's just dancing around. I'm not sure who he reminds me of. That's a good question. I have to think of that.
Shaka, does Tuchel need to find his best front three before their clash against Real Madrid if they have any chance of beating the Spaniards? Who would you start?
I would go with the front three that he'd been using previously. That's a really good question. Let me see. Ziyech, I thought played well today. I'm not sure I'll go with Werner. I'd probably prefer Havertz. And then Pulisic has done well whenever he's shown. So maybe that's the front three I'm leaning to right now.
You're very convincing, Shaq, that answer.
It is a tough one in terms of, because they haven't played out the potential. I'll be following Werner in Germany, of course, but the main one for me is Kai Havertz. He will, when he adjusts to the Premier League, when he adjusts to London, when he finds himself in that Chelsea team, he will be one of a player. And I think they have to play him, and then they have to play some quick people around him. And I tell you what, he will give Real Madrid big, big trouble, because I think Havertz will be the best one of them all.
Jan, is Haaland's dip in form? What's that, 7 games without a goal for your boy? Partially because of Sancho's unavailability.
Also a good point, because Sancho is the unpredictable in there. Because when he plays around Hazard or Brandt or Royce, it's more of the same somehow. And Reina's not been very good lately as well. But I think this is down to Haaland anyway, because I think it's more to analyse why he has scored 49 goals for Dortmund than he having a dip as a 20-year-old. So I think that is just down to him having a long, long season, a bit out of confidence, as they do. And a goal-getter is like this. When you get into that thing, you just hope that a ball will kind of hit you and then you're on again. And tomorrow, Werder Bremen at home is a good opportunity for him to start another game of goals.
Jan, if Bayern didn't play Sané in the second leg, would we have had a different result?
No, I don't think that. I think that is too easy analysis. Of course, I think that we will have a different result if they could replace him with Gnabry as a candidate, with Lewandowski as a candidate. I don't think that was only down to Sané. Sané still needs some time to find his way to be stable on that level all the time. But I'm not at all down to him alone.
Final question, and a lot of people ask us this, Jan, a lot. For Jan, can you please ask him what his hair care routine is? It looks awesome.
Oh, that is my hair thing is that I have a lot of hair to be like an old man. So what I do, I take a shower as I've done today. Ooh. And then I put some gel into it and I do like this, and hopefully they don't see that I am getting grey.
Shampoo, conditioner, what's the routine?
No conditioner, very cheap shampoo.
Right.
My wife got a lot of expensive shampoo, I stay away from them, but I rub it into the hair and do like this all the time, so yeah.
Would you ever man bun it up?
Pardon?
Would you ever man bun it up?
I've done that once when I made an introduction of Zlatan. I did that for 5 seconds and the Twitter went ballistic!
Yes! Beautiful, Jan. Have you ever gone ponytail? You must have ponytail at some stage, Jan.
No, because when I played, I wanted to be that player with a long hair, like Paul Walsh or something.
Yeah.
At Man City, he had a fantastic hair. So every time I let it grow a bit, and if I missed a chance after the game, my analysis was always there was something wrong with my hair. So I always cut the hair.
No one has long hair anymore, do they? You think when I was growing up, Chris Waddle had the mullet of wonder, beautiful flowing locks.
My son is playing up in Scotland and he looks like Rob Roy or something, or Mel Gibson. So I think he will be the last warrior in that term.
Shaka, who was your favourite haircut that you used to play with?
Ooh, good question.
Who was my what?
Who had the favourite hairstyle when you used to play? Who did you think, ooh, I like that?
Rude Hullet.
Yes. Yes. Absolute classic. You can't get any better than Rude. That's it.
I'm not sure I could pull it off though.
I don't know, Shaq. I'd love to see you like that. That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Rude Gullet hair. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah, Shaq. Might give you another excuse. Hair in your eyes. That's it. We're done. Thank you very much. ESPN FC returns to your screens tomorrow. We'll be talking a bit of Inter Napoli plus Leicester Southampton in the FA Cup.